Hello? Jesper Johansson, postman. Mr. Klaus.
You have a gift. You were meant for making toys. So I figured if you donate your old toys, I'll deliver them for free.
Tonight, I go with you.
There's no need for you to come with me, really. Tonight, then.
Our cousin told us if we write a letter to Mr. Klaus, he'll make us a toy. Always have my
hopes. What is up, family? What's up, Northridge Church? It's great to gather together. I want to welcome you to Northridge. Welcome home and welcome to the family. Merry Christmas, everybody. Let me welcome those of you who are joining us at our physical locations, those of you at our digital campus. We're just grateful that each and every one of you are here this morning. And, you know, I can remember back a couple years when I was going on a daddy-daughter date with my oldest, Joelle. And from, you know, time to time on a Saturday, we would go out to a diner, we'd grab some breakfast, and we'd find that restaurant that we would go to. We would order our coffee and our hot chocolate, and I don't know how Joelle did it, but it didn't matter whether it was a waiter or waitress. She would always find someone who would give her about a pound of whipped cream on her hot chocolate to make it, I guess, it's just a whole lot better. And so we would spend time, we would eat our eggs, our bacon, our toast, we would converse and just have a good time being together. So this one time we were at one of our favorite diners. We were hanging out and we were finished with breakfast. We were finished with our drinks. And I said to the waitress, "How much do we owe you?" And she looked at me and she says, "Hey, no worries. You don't owe us anything." I was like, "We need to come eat here more often. What do you mean we don't owe you anything?" She's like, "Well, someone paid for your meal." And Joelle and I were both like, "Wow, this is awesome, this is amazing. Oh, okay, who was it? We would like to go say thank you." Well, you can't because they left. So Joelle and I are sitting there, we're kind of flabbergasted, and Joelle looks at me and she says, "Dad, why would anybody do that? Why would anybody want to buy our breakfast, pay for our meal? Why would anybody want to be that kind?" And at the end of the day, you think about kindness, kindness like that, or kindness that you've experienced in your life. Kindness is selfless. When you are kind to someone, it is you thinking about them more than you are thinking about yourself. And ultimately, isn't that what the Christmas season is supposed to be about? Right? Acts of selflessness, giving gifts to people that you love maybe more than yourself. But what's interesting about the Christmas season is it has a way of morphing on us, doesn't it? In the busyness and the chaos of all the traditions and the hoopla and the season, right, it can easily sway a different direction where Christmas becomes more about what I get and the things that are on my list. But if we go back to the first Christmas, we go back to the original Christmas, the central message of Christmas was selflessness. In fact, we see this in the way Jesus was described on his way to earth. In Philippians chapter 2, it says this about Jesus. It says, "Who, being in very nature God," Jesus, "did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage." Listen to these words, verse 7. It says, "Rather, Jesus," God, "made himself nothing, but taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." So here this passage describes what Jesus did before he arrived on earth. That God, we're not talking about ordinary person, we're talking about God, made himself nothing. Took on the very nature of a servant. And it's hard for us to fathom that. Because we live in a culture that is so self-absorbed, so self-focused, right? Christmas, honestly, is just the pinnacle of that. Did you know that last year was the highest statistic in this, that last year at Christmas, 4 out of 5 people bought themselves a Christmas gift? Like, you're laughing. You know you did. You know you did. 83% of people aren't shopping for somebody else. What do I need to get this Christmas? Why? It's because we don't want to admit it, but we're the opposite of Jesus. We are selfish.
It's just how we're born into this world. We have this natural propensity to us. We wouldn't say this out loud, but like we believe the world revolves around us. And Christmas just is kind of a heightened that. Because Christmas is more about what I can get than what I can give. And if we're honest, even in the giving of Christmas, we give so people think we are really good at giving awesome gifts. It's not really about, like, giving to others. It's about them noticing how good of gifts we give. Because instead of it being about kindness and selflessness, it's become about selfishness. And honestly, that's a great segue into our movie today called Klaus. You see, having been with us over the last couple weeks, we started this series called Christmas at the Movies. What we're simply doing is we're using culture's movies as the illustrations of biblical truth. And in this movie, Klaus, one of my favorite movies in the list, there's this main character at the beginning of the movie. His name is Jasper. And Jasper is the son of the postmaster, a very powerful, rich man. And Jasper is self-centered. Jasper is selfish. His whole life model is like, how can I make myself happy? And so he indulges in the luxuries and the benefits of his dad's job. He's lazy. He has no worth ethic. The problem for Jasper at the beginning of the movie is his dad has had enough. He sees where it's leading him in life, and so he cuts him off. He makes him a postman in the town of Smearensburg. And Smearensburg is not a place you want to visit, let alone live. In fact, let me just give you a small taste of Smearensburg.
Is the weather always like this?
Yeah, we're having a bit of a heat wave. There she is, Smearensburg. Charming, huh? Why, you should see it in the spring. That's when those grays really pop.
What happened here?
Colorful local traditions, quirky folklore, that kind of thing, all part of this quaint town's vibrant culture.
Where is everyone?
Everyone?
I thought there would be some sort of a reception.
Oh, right. The reception, of course, the reception. It's good you reminded me. You just ring the bell over there, and then the reception will start.
The bell?
Yep, give it a go. And they'll come out. Why, they'll have a band, hors d'oeuvres, and the key to the city, all that reception stuff.
Really? Out here?
Why, of course. Well, it's not every day they get a brand new postman from the big city.
Quite the place, isn't it? I actually heard that Airbnb has had a special in Smearensburg if you guys want to visit for the holidays. But you can see from the imagery that the video shows that Smearensburg is not a place you really want to be. And what's interesting is as Jasper comes to this town, it actually mirrors him. Smearensburg is a divided town full of hatred and self-centeredness.
It's a town that only cares about itself. It's broken, consumed with selfishness. And here's what's interesting about chasing after what we desire. Here's what's interesting about selfishness is we are convinced that if we just achieve, if we just get what we want, it will fulfill us. But the truth is when you live a life full of self, it leads to emptiness. This is one of the greatest lies the enemy has gotten us to believe. See, we believe in our culture that if we could just obtain the next best thing. Honestly, this is kind of what Christmas has become, right? The things on our list that we want in hopes that somehow they will produce satisfaction and fulfill the void that we have in our life, and they just leave us empty. Wanting more, creating new things to obtain and achieve, hoping that this thing will bring satisfaction. That was Smearensburg and that was Jasper. In fact, the Bible teaches on this. Look what the Bible says, James chapter 3. It says, "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice." Kind of paints the picture of Smearensburg. Galatians 6 says this, "Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature, their own selfishness, they will harvest decay and death from the sinful nature." So we miss this. We think in our selfishness, we'll get what we want, but it just leaves us empty. And so here Jasper is in Smearensburg as the postman. And his father tells him, until you get 6,000 letters, you can't leave. And so you can imagine Jasper is in this journey just to figure out how he can get 6,000 letters as fast as he can to get out of this town. The problem is that's no easy feat. He goes from house to house to house to get no letters until one day he arrives at this one house with this little boy who drops a picture that he drew of him with a toy. Jasper collects that picture, and in his journey, going from house to house, he travels on the outskirts of Smearensburg to Klaus's house, a woodsman. And he discovers that in the barn of this woodsman are toys carved by Klaus in hopes that he would give them to his future kids. Well, Jasper drops the picture of this boy playing with the toy. Klaus sees it, and he decides to take Jasper with him to deliver to this boy a toy that he had made. And this one small act of kindness will begin to transform this town. You see, this was the turning point in the movie. For once in Smearensburg, there was hope and joy, something that most people in this town hadn't experienced. And it came from just one small act of kindness, of selflessness, the delivery of a toy. You can see it in everybody's eyes, the hope that they see. And that's the truth of Christmas, right? One act from Jesus changed everything. The arrival of Jesus was the beginning of the change that humanity desperately needed. Why? Well, we find it in his name. Matthew says it like this, "And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." You see, the reason why Christians on Christmas get so excited and so pumped about celebrating is because of who Jesus is. We don't just celebrate his arrival on the scene. Jesus didn't just come to throw a party and to be crowned king of the universe. No, he came to die for us, to give his life as a ransom, to rescue us from the very thing that held us in bondage. Jesus arrived to do what we couldn't do for ourselves, to show us kindness, selflessness. Mark says it like this, for even the Son of Man, that's Jesus, came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. You see, we celebrate his arrival, but more importantly, what his arrival meant for us, that he came to die in our place and to rescue us from our sins. And that would be the beginning of change that we all can experience in the name of Jesus. You see, in Spiritsburg, this one small act of kindness began to spread throughout the town because this little boy had a toy. And so what would he do? Naturally, as any kid would, he would take it into the town. He would show it to his friends, and they would begin to, the joy that he felt, they would begin to experience. And so every kid wanted a toy, and so they would write letters to Jasper, who would take those letters to Klaus, and they would continue to deliver toys because everybody wanted to experience that kindness. Because the truth about kindness is it's contagious. Right, when you experience kindness in your life, it moves you to want to be kind to others. I remember 2 years ago in that diner being told that someone bought our dinner. And that kindness moved my daughter and I to want to be kind to other people, to want to for people to experience what we felt. We wanted others to experience that same thing because kindness is contagious. And you see this in this movie. That one small act of kindness began to spread throughout the town and the city until it was completely changed.
Job.
Yay!
All right, that's it for today. And homework. Oh,
I forgot about homework.
You know what? No homework. Am I the best teacher ever or what?
What happened here?
Oh, yeah, I thought I would give the place an update. Everybody knows rotting fish is so over.
How did you pay for this?
Hmm?
Your savings?
Well, not all of it. Actually, yeah, all of it. But check it out. I think it looks pretty good.
What about starting far, far away from here? Where's that, Alva?
Someone would have to be pretty stupid to want to leave this place now, don't you think?
I guess.
You guess? Oh, wow, you have no idea what you've done, do you? Ugh, come on, I'll show you. Now, would you take a look at that?
Merry Christmas,
Merry
Miss
Christmas.
Alva.
Merry Christmas.
Good evening, Postman Johansson.
Hello.
Miss Alva.
Same place, is it?
Spiritsburg had completely changed. I mean, from the first video to that video, you see the evidence of the change all around. I mean, take our words for it, not quite the same place, is it? And the truth is it wasn't just Spiritsburg that was changing. Jasper was slowly beginning to change. And this illustration of the transformation of this small town is just a silly picture of ultimately what Christmas is about. You see, the arrival of Jesus, Christ came to produce change in us and in you and in me. The whole purpose of his arrival was to produce and transform our lives, to give us life and life to the fullest. Corinthians paints the picture for us. In 2 Corinthians, it says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old you is gone. The new is here." Right? That's what Christmas is all about. We celebrate Christmas because of what Jesus came to do in our lives, what his cross and his resurrection could accomplish in us. And so we celebrate that. That's why when we watch a baptism at any of our campuses, that's why we celebrate and we rejoice, because it's a picture of the change, the transformation Jesus accomplishes in us. That when we are baptized, we go down in the water representing that our old life is dead, that the old us is dying, and we are being resurrected in new life in Jesus Christ. And so when we think about this town's transformation, when we think about the holiday season, we need to keep that in central focus. And so here we are. It's 10 days until Christmas. I don't know about you, but I cannot wait. And thank you, someone else is with me. I can't wait. And so we're like really knee deep in the middle of the holiday season. And when it comes to December and the holiday season, you see all kinds of things. From your drive around looking at the Christmas lights to the trees and people's windows to the decor and the parties. And you know what you also see? You also see a lot of Santa Claus, right? Santa Claus is everywhere, from people's t-shirts to our decor and our homes to the movies that we watch. Even this movie, Klaus, spoiler alert, Klaus is Santa Claus, right? I don't know if you picked that up, but like he's an ode to him. And when we think about Santa Claus in the Christmas season, there's one stark difference between Santa Claus and Jesus. Because when it comes to Santa Claus, you gotta be good. Right? Because he's making a list. He's gonna check it twice. And he's gonna find out who's naughty or nice. And the last place you wanna be as a kid is on Santa's naughty list. Why? Because you ain't gonna get a gift. But can I tell you that's the complete opposite with Jesus? With Jesus, your goodness doesn't matter. In fact, with Jesus, you can't be good enough to earn what he's offering you. You aren't worthy of it, you can't earn it, and you don't deserve it. But yet, Christ gives it to you freely anyway. You see, the Christ's selfless gift on Christmas is offered to you freely. You don't have to earn it, not by works, or you can't achieve it. We can try to get to God, but it never works. We're not good enough. And that's the amazing news of the gospel, is you don't earn it, you couldn't achieve it, you don't deserve it, and yet he gives it to you freely, even though it cost him greatly. And one of the greatest things that we do this season, in many seasons in our life, is we try to earn our way back to God. We recognize that our sin has created a chasm between us and God. And so what do? In our life, we try to be good enough to get God's attention, good enough that the scale of our life, if we could just have enough good deeds and enough good behavior to outweigh our bad, therefore God has to redeem us, rescue us. But can I tell you that's a lie? Your good deeds will never measure up to Christ's perfection. But the great news is it doesn't have to, because his grace is there for you, offered freely to you. Ephesians 2 says it like this, "For it is by grace, an undeserved gift, that you have been saved through your faith. It's not of yourselves, but it is a gift of God. It's not by works. It's not by good deeds. It's not by good behavior." Why? So no one can boast. And when you receive through faith Jesus' work on the cross, Christ's selfless gift transforms everything in your life. It changes you from the inside out. When you put your faith in Jesus, his selfless gift will transform you. It'll take that selfish heart of yours that only desires for things that you want, and it will change you to thinking of others first, of showing kindness, of being selfless. Corinthians says it like this, "And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him for their sake died and was raised." The gift of Jesus changes everything. Has it changed you? That was the ultimate question of this story. Because Jasper, at the end of the movie, finally achieves those 6,000 letters. He got what he wanted. His dad comes to take him back to to the life that he always dreamed of, the life of luxury, the life of every want and every need, the desire. He would have it with his father. The question is, would he go back?
Well, now, finally leaving, aren't we?
Anchors away, Captain. We're sailing off at once.
Well, that's a first.
I beg your pardon.
Never saw a postman looking more miserable leaving than on the day they came in. Oh, well, best leave it alone. I say, I'm sure it's nothing that could fester and eventually become a source of resentment and regret.
Cheer up, little one. I think I may have missed my boat.
Jasper!
You see, Jasper was changed, transformed. And honestly, as we watch this movie, I think Jasper's story is all of our stories. Because we are born into this world in this journey to try to discover fulfillment and meaning. And what do? We do exactly what Jasper does. We go to everything in this world, every luxury, every pleasure, hoping that somehow it will fulfill and bring satisfaction and fulfillment to our lives. But we quickly realize that nothing in this world truly satisfies. Right? You've tried everything. And sure, maybe it satisfies for a season, but eventually that thing that brings joy into your life fades, causing you to want more. Move on to the next thing. Repeating the cycle. That's because nothing in this world was meant to satisfy. The only thing that will truly satisfy your heart and your soul is the risen Savior, Jesus. He came on Christmas to rescue you from the very thing you couldn't rescue yourself from, your sin. And when you place your faith and your trust and your life in his hands, I promise you, he will give your life meaning and hope and joy and peace, the very things that you are longing for. And so my question for you today is, have you allowed Jesus to change your life? Well, if you haven't, I want to give you that opportunity this morning. So let's pray together. Maybe that's you in this endless pursuit for something more, only to be left empty, unfulfilled. Well, today can be your day where you experience a gift you couldn't earn or deserve, but Jesus gives it to you freely, even though it cost him greatly. And if you're ready, just say this prayer with your heart, not to me, but to Jesus. God, I'm a sinner. I am broken, and my sin has separated me from you. And I recognize today that my good deeds, my good works, my good behavior will never be enough to get me back to you. But you are the bridge, Jesus. You made a way through your cross in my place. And through your resurrection, you give me victory. And so today, I'm declaring that I believe in you. I believe in your death in my place, and I believe in the victory you give me through your resurrection. And so today, forgive me and lead my life. Fulfill me like nothing else can. And if you prayed that prayer today, my encouragement, my prayer for you is that you would just tell somebody, a family member, someone here who invited you, I don't care who it is, just tell somebody. And come on, church, can we celebrate the gift of Jesus this Christmas? Come on. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you. We rejoice in who you are, that you came to transform us, God. And that's not just a one-time thing, that's a daily thing, that you are continuing to transform me each and every day. And so God, give us hope, give us joy, give us peace because of Jesus. And we pray in the name of Jesus, amen.